Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
So we have an infrastructure bill that it seems like it's not going to have too much resistance on the Democratic side. And now the attention is kind of going towards the reconciliation bill that's supposed to come along. They're not all Democrats are on the same boat, are they?
All Democrats are on the same boat when it comes to starting the process. So getting on to the idea of unlocking this procedure by which they can pass an agenda with their votes alone in the Senate. After that, though, the devil is very much in the details for the Democrats. So this is something I've heard from the conservation community all week, something that I heard when I got a call from House Natural Resources Chair Raul Grijalva on Thursday.
It's not satisfactory, to put it delicately.
They view this as their best opportunity to deliver a whole host of priorities for the nation's lands and water, and they see the public lands and waters, I should say, as crucial to the climate equation. And so they don't want to see those priorities get left behind. They're obviously facing a host of competing Democratic priorities as they get to work on this reconciliation product.
There's a whole list of things, and they have to be given some priority because there are real needs, and they affect millions upon millions of people.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And today, I talked to producer Carlos Prieto about the fight to keep natural resources front and center of the Democrats' reconciliation plan. It's Friday, August 6th.
I wonder what Congressman Grijalva is not happy with. Like, what is in there and how much more does he want?
Well, it's not just him, but he's certainly the most visible face of this. He's seen the draft reconciliation instructions, something we all have not been privy to. But he says that it underfunds a whole host of Interior Department programs. So things like restoring the nation's public lands, resiliency on the coastlines.
Not having any real money in there to deal with the fires and the natural catastrophes that are going to hit us, and the mega drought that is hitting us, and particularly in the Southwest.
He also thinks that it doesn't go far enough in environmental justice. And so things like that that are, you know, again, Democrats view this as like their best opportunity to get this across the line. And he thinks they're coming up short when they really need to deliver.
It's frustrating. It seems like every year we have to fight some attention given to these issues in the budget process. And this year, I thought it would be different.
There was a group of senators earlier that had pushed for $200 billion of investment in natural resources related priorities. And there's just fear that that may get left on the cutting room floor.
Right. And it's worth mentioning that it isn't too late. Like, we are just now starting to see amendments on the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. We all kind of have this idea of a $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, but that's also something that Democrats could change if they saw it fitting to include more for, say, natural resources.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's the push, right?
And you still think there's time to get some of these changes?
Absolutely do. And because, you know, to concede that there's no way to do this, I think is to concede that there's no importance to the points that I just raised with you.
Chair Grijalva told me he's sent the letter to President Biden. Basically, there's a concerted push from people that are really strongly think that the western part of the country has to play a big role in the climate solutions here in the public lands and waters. And they're saying it's not too late, but this is just one part of the broader Democratic challenge, which is there are 100 members in the Senate, all with competing priorities, all that feel very strongly about those priorities.
Where is Senator Manchin on this, though? I think we can't really pass on any conversation on any bill moving really in Congress without talking about what his position is.
Your pet priority here.
Have you spoken to Manchin or anybody on the Senate side yet? Okay.
Wanted to get the letter out, get the alert out.
I got Senator Manchin alone, which is quite an accomplishment here in Washington.
I don't know, because it's mixed jurisdiction. They're talking about that now.
Okay.
There's a mixed jurisdiction.
But he told me that there are multiple committees with jurisdiction over this. So they're still trying to figure out exactly how the money is going to be doled out. He did tell me that he expects that, you know, his committee, the Energy Committee, will get about $200 billion of this $3.5 trillion pie, which is not inconsequential. I understand that a big chunk of that's going to be the clean energy standard. And there's still not a ton of clarity among Democrats about how explicit you need to be about which programs get which instruction. Everybody is pushing at the same time to get their provisions in. And so I think what we're seeing right now is there's been a recognition at this stage that natural resources, there's a chance they get left behind here. And so they're trying to show force at this critical juncture to make sure that they aren't. And we'll see if that's ultimately successful. Also,
the future of the auto industry is electric. There's no turning back.
Yesterday, President Joe Biden gathered with the CEOs of the U.S.'s three biggest automakers to present a new ambition on electric vehicles.
I have a commitment from Mary. When they make the first electric Corvette, I get to drive it. Right, Mary? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding.
Speaking at the White House, President Biden signed an executive order setting out a new target for electric vehicles on U.S. roads.
I'm signing an executive order setting out a target of 50% of all passenger vehicles sold by 2030 will be electric.
At the event, President Biden stressed the importance for the U.S. to win the race on electric vehicles, a field where America has lagged against Chinese and European automakers in the past decade.
Right now, China is leading the race. It is one of the largest and fastest growing electric vehicle markets in the world. We led in the development of this technology, and there's no reason why we can't reclaim that leadership.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Raghu Manavalan is our senior editor of audio. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmed. Irene Noguchi is Politico Audio's executive producer. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.